Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Traffic.
Back in on the drive, my name is Carrington Harrison. To my right, it is the sports machine, Sean Levine. Rob Brenton is producing this thing. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk about there has been some rumor and chatter around Antonio Brown getting back into the NFL. We'll tell you with who coming up momentarily. But it has been a while since we have done this, Sean. This is your last day this week because you are going on the houseboat. Mm-hmm. So I would like to play a brand new edition of the Carrington random hypothetical button game. So these are the scenarios you have to choose from. You are outside on a basketball court. Mm-hmm. I don't care where this basketball court is, but we're talking single rim. Because you know if you play on that double rim, you got to be Steph Curry to cash out. These are your options. You get one shot. No warm up. I'm saying I hand you the ball. You got to go out there and you got to shoot. If you choose the layup and make the layup, you will get $50,000. This is all tax-free. If you shoot the free throw and you sink it, you get $100,000. If you go and you shoot a three-pointer from the top of the key, you will get $500,000. You go out to the wing, you will get $750,000. If you shoot that corner three, you got a chance at $1 million. Sean Levine, I hand you the basketball and I say, go out here and make your decision. Where are you taking your shot from? The layup for $50K, the free throw for $100K, top of the key for $500,000, the wing three-pointer for $750,000. Are you taking the corner ball for $1 million?
It's either the beginning or the end. It's either the layup for $50,000 or I'm going to try to win the million. I guess my question is, why isn't the wing worth $1 million and the corner worth $750,000? Because the wing, to me, is by far the most difficult three-pointer to shoot. Maybe it's because, in theory, I guess you could bank it, even though that's very difficult to do.
I agree with you. That shot's harder to hit than the corner.
I told you about the time that I once hit 42 free throws in a row, right?
You have told us that story. We have never got it confirmed.
That's true.
Just like you hit 42 free throws in a row, we've never been able to confirm it. You also were Forrest Gump in your old days. We've never been able to confirm that story. We're not sure if the owner exists or the bar exists.
Oh, you're talking about the time that I went 498-2 in ping pong.
Yes.
Okay.
Both of those stories we have been told. We have yet to verify either one of those. They could be hashtag fake news.
That's fair. The layup, I believe I'm going to make 99.9% of the time, like a good hand sanitizer. I'm not saying that I've never stole the ball and gone to the other end of the court and bricked a layup, tried a finger roll, tried to look smooth. It's happened. But if you're telling me that it's just me and a basketball and I just have to hit the square and it goes in, I'm going to make a layup. I can tell you right now, I will make the layup. The free throw, at this, like when I made the 42 straight, that was 15 years ago. Now I'm probably a 65, 70% free throw shooter. So because I can get $1 million, like real life-changing money, all this money's life-changing for me, who are we kidding? But $1 million and I can knock down that corner shot, NBA or college three-pointer?
Either one.
I'm stepping in the corner. That's actually the shortest shot. To me, that was the shot that I always went for because I was one of those guys that would bring the ball down, then kind of float outside the three-point line. I'd usually end up in the corner, and I knocked that down with a pretty high percentage. So if you're telling me one shot, nothing but net, gets me $1 million to hit my shot from the corner, I think that's the one I'm trying.
Phone line 913-576-7610. Also on the text line, these are your options. You can either take the layup, and if you make it, you'll get 50K. You can shoot a free throw, you'll get 100. You can step to the top of the key, get your Steph Curry on, you'll make $500,000. You step out to the wing, you'll get $750,000. But if you want to step to the corner, you get the cool $1 million. You get one shot, no warm-ups. You said that you're going to the corner, you're taking your chance on the three-point play. Rob, which of these options are you taking before we go to the phone lines? 913-576-7610. It is today's edition of the Carrington Random Hypothetical Button Game.
So the question, it's easy. I don't understand the difficulty in this. You take the layup, you take your 50K, and you go home. Sean said it perfectly. The layup's probably, what, 99% in? Free throw for me is probably like 75, 80. Top the key, your number drops to like somewhere in the 30s. Wing drops again, corner in the 30%. There's a 70% chance you miss and don't make any money. There's a 1% chance you miss the layup and don't make any money. You walk up, you hit the square, you walk out with 50K. You don't take the risk of missing the shot. It is the layup. We in society say things that are easy. It's a layup. Take the layup for 50K. I feel like I'm losing my mind here.
913-576-7610. Call up right now. We got Scott and Paul. We'll go to the phone lines very quickly in the Carrington Hypothetical Button Game. I'm with Rob here. I got to take the one in the hand here. I'm with you. It would certainly be very enticing to try to step to the corner and take that three-point shot.
I'm a gamble, man. I'm taking it and I'm knocking it down.
But what's the percentage of you hitting it?
Not great.
20%?
More than that.
Do you think you're shooting more than 25% from three? You should be in the league.
No, unguarded. And you said I could choose college or NBA, so I'm choosing college. I knock down right now, I would say 33%. It's not that high of a number.
Okay.
One in three, unguarded college threes.
I don't know if you hitting 33% with the pressure on you. Like, let's say that they put you in Allen Fieldhouse packed before the game, and they got you out there shooting, and I let you get 100 of them. You think you're hitting 35 with all those people watching?
Let me tell you a little story. This actually happened one time, so... Wayne Simmons, you know Big Dub, right? Mm-hmm. So Wayne Simmons used to have the Wayne Simmons free throw shooting contest every year at Allen Fieldhouse. And I used to host a show years ago in Lawrence called Rock Chalk Sports Talk. And so he'd come on and I was promoting the event for him. And so we were going to go head to head. I challenged Dub because, again, this was a few years back when I was still hooping quite a bit. And I told him, I said, Wayne, I can make more free throws than you. And I forgot that Wayne Simmons, one of the all-time great Kansas Jayhawks.
I don't know how you forgot that at Wayne Simmons' camp.
Knocked down 80% of his free throws in college and eventually was a first-round pick by the Miami Heat and all that stuff. So I told Wayne that I was going to knock down 16 out of my 20 free throws. That's how confident I was. What's that, 80%? Is my math right? Mm-hmm. Something like that. And I was close, and there was pressure. It was at Allen Fieldhouse. People were watching. It wasn't packed like you're talking about. But I knocked down 15. So I was actually feeling pretty good about myself. 15, not bad. I'm feeling all right, 75%. And then Big Dub steps up. Swish, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. 20 out of 20, Wayne Simmons. So, yeah, I did not beat him. And
I just
shouldn't have challenged Wayne Simmons to anything involving basketball.
I just want to point out that the moral of your story was the NBA player was good at basketball and the non-NBA player was not nearly as good as the NBA player at basketball.
But knocking down 75% and you're telling me that I got a 3-4 chance and I'm going to get $100,000, I think it's weak what you guys are doing. I don't mind that you're not taking the three-point shot.
I'm taking that tax.
I don't mind that money. But why not try the free throw to double up your money? What percentage do you think you shoot at the free throw line right now with the pressure that you're talking about?
I ain't gonna lie. I know what the pressure I'm missing that bad boy. I'm gonna be nervous about the layup. That's that much money on the line.
Dog,
I'm
but
be
here's
nervous.
The thing. Here's the thing.
If you get one shot, no warm up.
If you miss the layup, you're never going to hear the end of it. If you miss a three-pointer, if you go out to the wing and you're like, hey, man, I'm going to let him hang, like Frank Clark said, and I'm going to take my shot at 750 grand, and you brick it or you airball it, nobody's going to say anything.
I'm not worried about letting it hang, though. That's the difference between me and you. I'm not worried about letting it hang. Who am I letting it hang to? Broke people? They ain't going to – you know what? They're not going to be like, man, Carrington, hey, you know what? You took that shot at that million. They're not starting to GoFundMe to help me raise this money. That's not what they're helping me do.
But you just just said,
I'm taking this easy 50. I'm putting it in the bank.
But you were talking.
I got kids. I'm taking that easy money.
You were talking about being nervous, and there's a chance you might miss the layup.
Oh, believe me. I'm focusing in a way I've never focused before.
Have you ever seen when they do that Dr. Pepper thing for a scholarship? I think it's like the Big 12 championship game.
And those kids chest pass it drives me insane.
Oh, it pisses me off.
That's what I'll be doing,
bro. It pisses me off. Now, again, that's what you should do because that's the most accurate way to do it. But
I'm taking that easy layup,
It's kind of like in pop a shot. Yeah, you can bank it if you want because you can get off more shots, but that's weak. That's not how the game is played. Try to put the ball in the bucket. I'm taking the shot from the corner.
I'm trying to put the ball in the bucket. I'm taking the easiest one. I'm taking that easy 50K.
Nothing but net.
And we're going home, bro. And we're going home. Scott, these are your choices. You get the layup for 50K, the free throw for 100, top of the key, 500,000. You can take a three from the wing for 750, or a three from the corner for $1 million. Which shot are you taking, Scott?
I didn't want to stop you halfway through. That would have been rude. But I'm taking the layup. I'm taking the $50,000.
Scott, I like the way you think, man. I appreciate you, Scott. It's right there. That's the thing. I'm with you. It would be enticing. There's no chance I'm trying the three in this scenario. I'm going to be realistic here. I got like a 30% chance. And then with the pressure on, I got like a 17% chance when it comes to that layup. I'm telling you, I'm turning into George Gervin when it comes to this layup.
I would love a situation where my own physical abilities would get me $1 million because I'm a gambler. So I'll go play blackjack, and if I win, I'll let it ride, and then I'll let it ride again. Then eventually I'll be broke and have to hit up the ATM. That doesn't usually work out too well for me. But in this case, you're telling me it's not the cards, it's not the luck of the draw, it's my jump shot, it's my gooseneck, it's all the years of practice in the driveway, and I can knock it down and get $1 million. Yeah, I'm going right to the corner, bro.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Paul, you've heard the scenarios. Which one would you take?
I'm with Sean on this one. I would definitely go for the corner shot for $1 million. As a kid growing up, how many times did you count it down? 5, 4, 3. You're beating the clock. You're hitting that sucker. Especially if you were good, you know, at shooting threes in high school. Sean, you play in high school?
I was a very good rec.
The answer's no,
I was a very
Paul.
Good
the
rec player,
no.
Paul.
That's phone call.
I was one of the best rec
it.
Basketball players
Yo,
in all of Overland Park.
Man started speaking Latin once he asked me to play basketball. God, no. The answer's no.
Hey,
you would not any of these.
For my Blue Valley people out there, it was a big deal to win the Blue Valley Rec Championship because this is when there are only three Blue Valley high schools.
You know what's a big deal to play on? The Blue
Just
Valley
shut up
varsity
for a minute. No,
team.
It wasn't actually. There was Blue Valley North, Blue Valley Northwest, and Blue Valley. So all the rec kids got together. So this is a big deal. There were like 50 teams. I'm going to have you know that my team won. Shout out to Ryan Graham. I'm not making this up. I know you guys are going to think, oh, he's telling me all these wild stories. I swear on everything, guys, Ryan Graham had 14 points in the first minute and 10 seconds of the championship game. I know it sounds unthinkable. We've got the old VHS if I can find my boy Blair.
We're not trying to hear
Blair.
What other people did.
Sounds
we
like
talk
Ryan
about
Graham
what you
can go
do.
To the corner, but you got to take a layup, Sean.
Yeah, we talking about you.
I knocked down
How
my corner shot like
in the
Ryan
the
Graham.
Half?
I'm not in the half?
In the
you was
the
a
half.
Role guy not on the intramural
four?
Squad?
I had four
How
in the first half.
I was a role guy on the intramural
squad. I had
squad.
10 in the game. I was a starter.
you can't tell me that you was B.J. Armstrong in a rec league. You can't be the B.J. Armstrong in a rec.
I was more like I would say I was B.J. Armstrong.
But a rec?
Yeah, that's pretty much what
it was. What are you talking about?
We won the championship, though.
Yo, can you cut that when he was talking about, did you play What?
He wanted to know if
Why
I played high school
capping?
Basketball, and I felt like I had to explain to him that I wasn't on the high school
explain.
Basketball
yes, no.
team.
Yes, no.
But yes, I played high school basketball, a lot of it. You know how hard it is to make the
basketball in high school,
yes.
not high school basketball.
You guys know how hard it is to make the Blue Valley Northwest high school team? They won like 5 straight state champions or something like that. Y'all wouldn't have made the squad either.
I'm just laughing how in this story.
He wanted to know if I played basketball in high school.
Thompson.
I played basketball in high school. And my problem was my height. It wasn't my jump shot. I was 5 foot nothing. I could dribble, I could shoot, I could pass, I knocked down my free throws, I was smart, I could play defense, just too short.
Okay, my bad.
That's it.
That little bit of audio may be my favorite of all time on this show.
Well, I'm sure I'll do better next time. I'll try.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, Cam Newton says farewell in a Instagram video, which leads us to a question. But coming up next, speaking of farewell, have we seen the last of Antonio Brown? Maybe not. We'll talk about it coming up. So Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Coming up momentarily, we'll talk about the rumors that Antonio Brown could potentially be back in the NFL. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Do us a favor. The new text line number is 913-576-7610. You were talking about the Dr. Pepper halftime shows. I think it's during the Big 12 where they have them throw the footballs inside the Dr. Pepper can.
And whoever
gets more into the can, they get that money and scholarship. Mm. It got me thinking of a one gotta go. Rob, hit me. I've got a one gotta go for you. I've only got one. Kauffman Stadium edition. Entertainment. The Kiss Cam. The Hot Dog Derby, the Hat Shuffle, or the seventh inning stretch. One gotta go. Kauffman Stadium edition. The Kiss Cam, the Hot Dog Derby, the Hat Shuffle, or the seventh inning stretch.
I'm gonna get rid of the Hat Shuffle because you really gotta concentrate. And most of the time, if they do what that's usually like what in the fourth or fifth inning. At that time, you've had a couple of those big pops, you know what I'm talking about, and it's warm outside, so I'm usually feeling pretty good, and I find myself turning away and then just guessing, and I always say number three. So if I'm going to get rid of any of those ballpark classic games, I guess I got to get rid of the Hat Shuffle.
I'm going to get rid of Kiss Cam because the only people that enjoy Kiss Cam are the people that get to cheer when the two old people kiss or when it's an awkward moment. No, there's no other part of Kiss Cam that's enjoyable. You either want to see the cute old people kiss or you want to see someone get rejected. I don't need that in my baseball life. It can get out of here.
I don't know, man. Kauffman Stadium is a great place for a first date. And if you haven't, like, made your move yet and Kiss Cam hits you all of a sudden, this is your chance. Like, you're basically being forced to do it in front of all the people. I actually don't have a problem with Kiss Cam.
I mean, the Kiss Cam conversation that you were talking about has happened on every date that has been at Kauffman Stadium. You have asked a girl, hey, what will we do if we were on the Kiss Cam? If you were unsure, if you were at that stage in your relationship where it's okay to get a kiss, every person that has been on a date at Kauffman Stadium has had that conversation of what would we do?
Tongue is always the answer. Well, sometimes it's the answer.
I can't believe that you guys have the wrong answer here. I love the Hat Shuffle. How can you be confused on the Hat Shuffle? The difficulty on the Hat Shuffle is always at a three, and then it's fun to yell at the screen, one, where you do that the whole time. The Kiss Cam, I love when they show all the nice couples, and then at the end, they put the old family on there that looks like they've been together for 72 years. That's a staple of the ballpark. You guys know I love the Hot Dog Derby. I've actually raced in the Hot Dog Derby. I'm 1-0. I'll never do it again. I won my race. I have video evidence that I won my race. I'm good. I'm never doing it again. It's the seventh inning stretch. Nobody even likes Cracker Jack anymore. You've sung that song a million times. No one cares if that song goes away. So, yes, it's the seventh inning stretch. It's not like we're Wrigley Field where they're getting celebrities to do it. You guys would really miss the K-Crew girls singing the seventh inning stretch 81 times a year? No, out of here.
Yeah, I'd miss it. I'd miss it more like at a Cubs game when they have the celebrity doing it.
Yes, I'm saying somewhere where it's a real thing.
I mean,
you
honestly.
Know, like Kansas City, we tried to make a thing. Remember we tried our little sixth inning song? That's only a thing in three ballparks
around
the country.
You're talking about Garth
Brooks?
Yeah, they
did that.
That's what I would get rid of.
That's already gone.
Oh, it's gone?
Yeah, it's been gone.
Kauffman did that for you.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done. Who did you beat in the hot dog race? Who, Bob Hamlin and Willie Rofe? Who were you going up against?
Nate Bukady was one of them.
Oh, we represent
Carm.
Then.
And Carm. Okay. I think it was us three.
Okay, well.
Yeah, I think. I still got the video. I'm pretty sure it was Nate and Carm.
And if we had a hot dog contest with the three of us, I know I finished last. I got bad knees. I don't think you could beat Rob. Maybe if you were in the relish costume because it's kind of, you know, aerodynamically shaped a little bit better. But I think Rob in a mustard outfit probably beats us both, if I'm being dead honest with you. Like, if we're setting lines.
I'm not doing it if I can't be mustard. I'm not repping those other condiments. I'm not repping them.
I know you don't like ketchup. What's the matter with relish?
Relish is gross.
Relish is gross.
Absolutely
relish
gross.
Is gross. Who was the first person to try relish and they were like, yes, yes, yes. This is what makes the hot dog so much better. This weird little, what the hell is relish? Like little green.
It's like pickles, I think. Yeah, it's pickles.
That's all it is? It's something
else. It's like pickles and some other
thing. It's nasty is what it is.
No, it's gross.
It's nastiness in a little tiny container.
Sauerkraut's trash, too. We don't talk enough about sauerkraut being trash.
No, it is.
Whoa. It's trash. Sauerkraut's trash.
Well, you like sauerkraut?
Is a staple of the hot dog.
Well, it's trash.
You put kraut and mustard on there, and that's an A-plus hot dog.
No, it's a staple of the brat, and it's a staple of the Reuben sandwich, but, I mean, that's it. Is there anything else that you use sauerkraut with? What other products are literally good on two things? And you could argue it's even good on a brat, to be honest with you.
This is one thing, too, we don't talk nearly enough.
Sauerkraut's nasty,
hot dog. Hot dog is not a great value at the ballpark. We don't talk about this enough.
On Buck Night?
But, I mean, yeah, on Buck Night, well, anything is a good value for a dollar. But on a regular day, if I'm going to spend the $5 to get a hot dog, I'm going to spend that extra buck to get the brat. I'm going to spend that extra buck to get the Italian sausage. That's much better value, better bang for your buck, better taste. Would I rather have the Shemaika's Italian sausage for the $6 or the Aramark hot dog for the $5? I'd rather spend that extra buck for the premium.
The correct answer is actually neither one at Kauffman Stadium. So if you go out to right field and you go basically
the helmet nacho.
The helmet nacho, because you get a ton. Like, those things are huge. I like to meet the man that finished his own helmet nacho, but they actually make a really good Philly. It's an awesome Philly. You can only get it. Don't roll your eyes at me. I'm a Philly connoisseur, and I'm telling you, it's one
Nobody
of the top 12.
Nobody has ever had a really good Philly from a concession stand.
Hey, text
they
me.
Don't make really good
Smitty's
Phillies.
Garage Bergs and Beer text line 913-576-7610.
You think that's a good Philly?
Hey, anybody ever had the Philly from Kauffman Stadium out there in right field? It is legit. I'm not saying it's the best in Kansas City. I'm not saying it's as good as Gino's from if I actually went out to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I'm not out here getting the fake stuff. I'm out here getting the real
Shemaika's
Italian
compared
sausage.
To, you're talking about hot dogs. He's over there talking about sauerkraut. Y'all are talking about relish. I'm talking about an actual Philly sandwich you can get at Kauffman Stadium. If you want to eat the best possible food, and actually I'm going to take it a step further. It's the best food you can get at the Truman Sports Complex.
It's better than
anything you can get at Arrowhead or at Kauffman.
Back? 13, 14 bucks?
Yeah, shouldn't he be calling that a Philly?
Yeah, it's probably like a
Hershey's Pennsylvania. Should be a Hershey's beer and getting a $50.
It's a $12, $13 sandwich.
Hell no.
It's phenomenal. But you're acting like what you're talking about is cheap. The nachos, the helmet nachos, those are going to set you back $14 either way.
Let me ask you this, actually, as the king of the first dates. If you're on a date at a Royals game and then she asks for the $14 food item, what do you do? Because I'm telling her we got food at home. I'm just curious what you would do in that scenario. Because something tells me you're getting her the $14 sandwich and you're getting her a couple beers. So now this $5 Royals ticket is now turned into a $70 day.
Yeah, I would buck up and I'll probably get her whatever she asked for to a certain extent. Like, she can get
you got
one
a job?
She can get one souvenir, she can get a mini bat, or she can get a ball in the case or something. It's a first
you're
date. This is why I was the king of first dates, because yes, I make them memorable. Now it didn't lead to necessarily a lot of second dates, but yeah, she can get the nachos, she can get the Philly. If she wants to get the soda and the souvenir cup that cost $11, but it comes with one refill, get her the hell she wants. That's my queen for a night. Get you a little mini bat if you want to. Get a program. Peanuts and Cracker Jack.
I might take you home if you're even looking at the gift shop. You close your eyes when you walk past the gift shop talking to me. You close your eyes when you walk past that thing. You think I'm going in there and I'm buying you the little $12 pink Royals bed?
No,
Hell no.
We're talking about different. I'm talking about the little mini kiosk gift shop. You can get some good deals at. Like, you can get last year's jersey.
What's good deals?
You can get Dave DeJesus jersey right now for $5.
Nobody has ever got a good merch deal from the ballpark. And I mean no disrespect to the Royals, but that ain't the place to go get good deals.
I once bought a hat, like a normal Royals hat, because I just shaved my head. My head was going to burn, so I was like, screw it all. I'll go buy a hat. $44 later, I'm wearing a fresh pinstripe Royals hat. But,
and you're buying that for your girl?
No, that was for me.
Okay.
That was for me. If she would have asked for it, yeah, I probably would have got it for her if it was the first day.
Yeah, because, Rob, she got two Boulevard Wheats, two Bratwurst, and she got a Whit Merrifield jersey.
When do you cut off your girl on a first date? So she goes in there and she goes, hey,
She already knows the expectations
when
before
you walk
even
in,
go on the date. You already know.
You give her a budget on the way in.
You already know.
Between the car and you get there and you check your tickets, you let her know, okay, you can get one soda or one beer. You can also get one item, like an entree. So if you want the chicken fingers, you can't also get the hot dog and the Philly. It's one or the other.
Yeah, why are you getting all
of those
things?
And then with dessert, if you want a super rope or if you want a funnel cake, you can get one or the other, but you can't get both.
I'm just asking, why?
Because she'd leave
you
your
need
ass.
All those things?
She'd be like, you're lame, and take an Uber and go home.
I just don't understand
There's
why.
There's a better way to look like a high roller. Now, this may be just me. Let me know if you guys have done this. You roll in the secret media gate, and you park in the secret media entrance with a girl. That is, you look smart doing that. And then when you get inside, you're like, yeah, I had to pay all this money for parking. So, no, you don't get all the stuff.
Yeah, you better.
That's the move.
Yeah, I mean, you better sneak these sunflower seeds in your purse. What are you talking about here? I got to get you two fillies. I got to get you a beer. And you want cotton candy? You're a grown woman with a job. Why can't you get any of these stuff? No, I'm cutting you off. I'm telling you, you better close your eyes when you walk past the Diamond Club because we ain't going in there.
If she got cotton candy, I might cut her off. That's for children. That's taking this step too far. That's for kids.
Sad news, Sean, from the text line. The Philly spot is gone.
It's gone.
Smash Burger
place. Because nobody
now.
Was going there. It was over.
I think it was so. Nobody was. It was going so there. Successful, like the lemonade guy. They just
that's
had to get rid of it.
No, that's what
they
it was.
They created a monopoly on all the food out there at Coffin. That's what happened. They were so good.
It was so popular, people wasn't fooling with it no more. That's what happened.
Yes.
Because all I know is Sheridan Frozen Custard continues to flourish.
That's weird.
Those little helmet nachos with the little pulled pork inside. Y'all know the ones I'm talking about to flourish. These nasty Phillies, these fake Phillies, somehow they're the only ones to get canceled. Cancel culture run amok with the Philadelphia cheesesteak spot.
I can't believe they got rid of those. I shed a tear.
Coming up next, we'll play for you where Antonio Brown could potentially be headed. And we get asked this question all the time. Why don't you guys take more phone calls? Example one coming up next is The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in 30 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Right now, there is a meme going around, Rob, that Christopher Nolan, so Anne Hathaway, she actually confirmed it, that Christopher Nolan, the famous director, he did not allow for there to be chairs on the set of The Dark Knight Rises because sitting somehow would imply that the actors were not actively engaged in their work. That actually makes a lot of sense when I actually saw the movie. The Dark Knight Rises is very overrated. Everybody loves The Dark Knight. It's not like I have some hot take that The Dark Knight is a good movie. I didn't really like the sequel a whole lot, so it actually makes sense because they were probably all tired because they were doing a terrible movie.
Sequel's better than Batman Begins, though. If you were to rank the three, it's two because Batman Begins is bad.
I haven't seen Batman's Begins in a long time. I'd have to go
back.
But when it was out, I actually enjoyed the first one. The second one, I still don't think they have made a movie in the superhero universe that can match The Dark Knight. But I didn't think Batman Begins was that bad. The Dark Knight Rises, I absolutely disliked. I did not like the main character, Bane, in that movie at all. Coming up in about 30 minutes or so, we'll get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. So it would appear that Antonio Brown could potentially be finding a home in the NFL. I'm trying to find the audio for you guys. Oh, here it goes.
I will say this, though. I think watch Tampa make. I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa makes another move. I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa, now that New England got Cam, I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa made another move.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I did. I mean, here you go, boy. You could put two in. You know, you're like Sherlock Holmes with that.
No. You think Antonio Brown's going down to Tampa because that conversation started early and Bruce was like, no, not for me, dog.
I'm thinking they're chipping away. You know how Andy used to chip away at the wall at Shawshank, you know, chip, 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 you know. I think there's some chipping going on down there. There you go. Yep. I think there's some chipping going on down there, Pat. I'm just saying, keep your antennas up. You heard it here first. Just keep your antennas up.
Is that breaking news right there? You're saying Antonio Brown?
I'm saying that there's a lot of chipping going on down there, and it wasn't the kind you guys were doing on the golf course.
So we talked about it last week, I believe. There were two teams that were interested in Antonio Brown. The Seahawks, who we know that Russell Wilson has been pushing to try to bring Antonio Brown, they were a likely destination after the Raiders debacle, but he ended up going to New England instead. Baltimore was a team that potentially was interested in Antonio Brown. I think their interest has cooled off just a little bit. I do think we know that Brady will vouch for him. If you remember, there was a little bit of back and forth on whether Brady or not was saying, hey, if I'm going to come to your team, you have to sign Antonio Brown. This is a move to me where you were simply giving Brady what he wants. You're going to give him another weapon, and Brady's going to be the one to vouch for. So if it doesn't work out, then that's a direct reflection on Tom Brady and the influence that he has over that organization. Ultimately, I don't think that that's going to be the move. You remember Bruce Arians, I believe he went on with Tiki Barber earlier in the year where Bruce Arians said, we're not interested in Antonio Brown. I don't know what could have potentially have changed in 2 months to now make you interested in him. I do not think Antonio Brown starts the season with the team.
Can you imagine if he did end up in the NFL and did end up on Tampa Bay? I mean, if you just want to talk about star power and potential, that potentially could be one of the best wide receiver trios the league has ever seen. I mean, you're talking about Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Antonio Brown. Mike Evans last year, 1,300 yards. Chris Godwin, 1,300 yards. Last time we saw Antonio Brown, 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns. Oh, yeah, by the way, Rob Gronkowski also came out of retirement to catch passes from Tom Brady. I know that you guys think that Tom Brady's washed, but if you give him that many weapons with a pretty good offensive line, I think that he could actually put up some good numbers. So Antonio Brown to Tampa Bay would be exciting, and it makes all the sense in the world. And it kind of feels like Carrington, he's burned a lot of bridges. Like, he's not going back to Pittsburgh, you can cross them off. Not going back to New England, you can cross them off. Not going to the Raiders, you can cross them off, because he's already tried those teams. And then there are locker rooms that, in my opinion, just wouldn't try it because it would be a total debacle, like Cleveland. There's probably only like four or five teams that it could actually work, and Tampa Bay happens to be one of them.
This would be my question for Antonio Brown from a very serious standpoint, because I think at this point people know where I sit in terms of would I sign him to my team. I'm not interested. Is Antonio Brown going to mentally and physically be ready to play at a high level, and does he still have the desire to be a great football player? I believe that desire existed in one place. You can't go from being sixth-round draft pick from Central Michigan to all-pro wide receiver if you don't have a desire to be great and getting yourself physically ready to go out there and compete game in, game out. But now that Antonio Brown has made a lot of money in his life, does he still have the same discipline? Does he still have the same dedication to go out there and be a great football player? We all know that he used to be a great football player, but man, time doesn't work that way, especially not in the NFL. So is he still focused enough? Is he still ready to play? Is he somebody that you can depend on? I don't know if any of us have those answers to those questions. So unless you're going to get great Antonio Brown, or an Antonio Brown that you think can give you 800 yards receiving and be a better version of Sammy Watkins, I just don't know why you would take the risk.
I'm pretty sure that he would get you those numbers. Now, when guys take time off in the NFL, you never know what they're going to be, which is always why I push back on the Colin Kaepernick thing. It's like, well, yeah, I do think that at one point he was certainly talented enough to be one of the 32 starting quarterbacks, but now that he hasn't played in 2.5 years, we haven't seen a lot of that. So I'd say the same thing with Antonio Brown when it comes to on the field. Is he going to be the same guy last time we saw him? Last time we saw him in 2018 for the Steelers, and mind you, he missed the last game because, well, the Steelers said, screw you, you're done here. He had 1,300 yards and 15 touchdowns. The year before that, he had 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns. Coming off a season where he had 1,300 the year before that, he had 1,900 yards the year before that, 1,700 the year before that, 1,500. So consistently, see that he's not just a guy, like you said, that gets 800 yards. He's a guy that doubles that and gets 1,500 yards. I don't know if he's still that guy, but to me, if you're the right team, it's worth a chance to find out.
But I think you're reading the wrong numbers here. I think the numbers to focus are on 168, 163, 154. Those were targets for Antonio Brown. Is Antonio Brown going to be cool going into a situation where he's the third best option and he's not getting the ball force-fed to him the way that it was in Pittsburgh? Because let's not kid ourselves. In one season, he got thrown the ball 193 times.
My Lord.
That seems to me you are the number one priority for the offense, and they are going above and beyond to make sure that you get the football. 193 is an absurd number. That ain't what it's going to be with Mike Evans. That's not what it's going to be with Chris Godwin. Is he going to be happy with the guy who gets 4 or 5? He's not the same AB, the same star. He's not going to be the guy cover of Madden. He's, and this, let's call it a role player. If you're a team's third wide receiver, you are a role player. Is that a role that he's going to, think about it. The only reason we thought that it was going to work in New England was because, hell, who else are you going to throw the ball to? Brady could go out there and throw him the ball a bunch. There's nobody else to get integrated into the offense. There's nobody else that really strikes fear into the defense. That's not the problem that Tampa Bay has. I don't even know if he'd be their third best wide receiver based on the weapons that they have. I don't think he's a good fit.
I don't think that we can blame either the Raiders or Antonio Brown for that situation not working out because, well, they're the Raiders and he's Antonio Brown, and that was just oil and water from the beginning. But the other two franchises that he's essentially failed with and been asked to leave, the Pittsburgh Steelers, is there a better, more consistent professional organization in our lifetime than the Pittsburgh Steelers? Maybe the New England Patriots, and he got a shot with them also.
I can't blame the Raiders for going Raiders. He didn't even give him a chance. He didn't make it past training camp.
It was more Antonio Brown than the Raiders, but that wasn't going
to
work.
I don't even know what the Raiders did in that scenario. He came to camp not ready to play football. Remember, his feet were all messed up. Then he was mad about the helmet. Like, the Raiders couldn't even get him onto the practice.
Well, yeah, he showed up in a hot air balloon to training camp.
Like, I mean, I'm here for making fun of the Raiders as much as anybody else. They couldn't even get my man to practice consistently without him complaining. Then remember he did that YouTube video where he recorded the conversation with John Gruden? Like, he was wilding the whole time. It's like he never wanted to go to Oakland, and then his agent told him, hey, if you really don't want to play here, these are the things you can do. And then he tried to knock everything off the checklist.
Well, you forgot. He also farted in the doctor's face when he was a Raider.
Yeah, it was wilding.
He certainly had instances as a Raider. But my whole point with that is that if you can't make it work in New England with a quarterback that's the greatest of all time, that the only reason that he ended up with New England was because Tom Brady vouched for him, and then Bill Belichick was like, all right, we made it work with Corey Dillon, we made it work with Randy Moss, we can make it work with you for a season, and it lasted for a game. If it's not going to work in New England, are we sure it's going to work anywhere?
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we will get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. So one of the complaints that people have about our show is we don't take enough calls.
Really?
Push back on the fact that we're not interactive. We read the text line as much as anybody. The text line, they are the fourth member of the show. I love the text line. We can monitor the text line. We can screen the text line. We can take the best texts and use them as topics. I got no issue with people texting the show. It's just the calling part and the unpredictability of it that I'm not too fond of. But we get asked all the time, why don't you guys take more calls? And then it's that double-edged sword. People say we don't take enough calls, and then we take calls. They don't like those
calls,
calls that we take.
Your calls suck. Why do you take phone calls? You suck.
You can't win in this scenario. So I want to play a sports talk radio caller for you and just give you a little bit of example of why we don't take more phone calls on this show.
How many people would it be cool for you to see die in order to be able to everything be normal? Like, if we had a million people die, would you still want everything to be normal?
This is what if you would do the numbers.
No, I'm just asking your opinion. I'm not worried about the numbers. If a million people died so that we could have sports, would you be cool with it?
Yes, because we would maintain our freedoms.
I mean this with all due respect to anybody that listens, interacts, texts, tweets, calls this show, this station. I'm not interested in having that conversation with anybody. And if I can avoid being in that situation, then I'm going to avoid being in that situation. So salute to Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio, and salute to the caller, Big Al. And I'm sure Big Al is a swell individual. And maybe that 27-second clip is not indicative of Big Al as a human being. I'm not interested in taking any of those phone calls. So for now, the best way to interact with this show, it's text line 913-576-7610. I will read all the text to your heart's desire. If you want to tweet the station or tweet me or tweet Sean, I'm happy to read your tweets. Open up the phone lines. We can get people like Big Al. No, I'm good.
It takes a certain kind of person that goes by the name Big Al.
Big Al.
And something tells you, and I've only heard 28 seconds of Big Al. Also, I don't know anything about him, but something tells me that that wasn't Big Al putting on an act for that radio show. That's who Big Al really. Again, I don't know Big Al, but I've met guys named Big Al, and there's a certain kind of guy that calls himself Big Al, and that was a Big Al.
A lot of people are trying to wonder where this gentleman is from. Someone said, is he from Georgia,
the
Texas,
South.
Alabama, or Oklahoma?
He's from the South.
He's actually from Kentucky. Do we consider Kentucky to be the South?
Hell yes.
Rob, do you consider Kentucky to be the South?
Yeah, what else would it be?
You know what the S stands for in the SEC, right? I believe South.
Southeastern, right?
Well, S-E, so yeah. Southeastern Conference, Rob. That's the E. But, yeah, exactly. So, yes.
It's not in the South?
That's a good point.
Kentucky's the South.
I think you actually would have made a better point if you said, yeah, but they call the Big Ten the Big Ten, and there's 13 teams, and they call the Big 12, and there's 10 teams. So, yeah, maybe the argument for conferences making sense what they call themselves is probably not the best fight to fight.
I'm being serious. Are we certain? Like, it looks like it's the Midwest to me.
What?
Kentucky?
What makes it South?
Like, the
accent. I'm sitting here looking at the map. I'm looking at the map of the United States. It doesn't go south of Arkansas. It doesn't go south of Tennessee. I don't know if Kentucky is the South. I don't know. They might be country. Being country and from the South are two completely different things.
But you have to, if you're considered part of a region, they're not just on their own. You can't call them Midwest. They're certainly not Midwest. They're certainly not part of the North. They're not up there with Connecticut and New York and all those places. So, yeah, like by default, I think it's the South. I don't know what Missouri is. Missouri's obviously the Midwest.
Yeah, Missouri's
obviously the Midwest. I just wonder, like, once you get down to the southern part of Missouri and you're starting to talk about Arkansas and
country,
all that,
though.
That's when it starts to get south, in my
opinion.
That's
what I'm saying, but I just consider those people to be country, not from the south. Like, to me, if you're from Kentucky and Alabama, I just think you're from two different parts of the country. You both might be country folk, but I don't know. Like, you can be from an hour outside Kansas City and be country, but not from the south. That's why I think there's a difference.
Correct, but you cannot be from Alabama and not be from the South. Okay. If you've lived in Alabama, then you're in the South. And that's just more of a geographical thing. Now, if you want to argue, like you were saying, Kentucky, because it's not quite down there with Alabama.
No, it's not.
That's fine, but if I'm going to place it in a region, to me, it's pretty obvious that that's where it belongs.
I mean, he certainly sounds like somebody from the South. We can give him that.
Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, Arkansas. They're the same place. Like, they're all great. You can go catch a great football game.
Oklahoma, are they south?
Yes, very much so.
See, I wouldn't consider Oklahoma. Like, I've never felt when I went to Tulsa that I was in the south. I've never felt that before. When I went to Oklahoma City, I never felt like I was in the south.
Did you go,
or Norman,
did,
I never
did,
felt like I was
did,
in the
did
south.
Did you go to a Thunder game?
I have been to a Thunder game.
Did they say the prayer at the beginning of the game?
They did. I went on a Sunday.
Then that makes it the South.
They say it before every game.
Then that makes it the South. Like, you were at an NBA game when they asked everybody at the beginning to join hands
you
and say
like
a prayer.
You're in the South.
You're in the South.
That makes every NASCAR race. Every NASCAR race in the South.
Give me a place that races NASCAR that's not in the South. I'm sure it exists,
Kansas
but there's
Speedway.
Not a lot of them.
Kansas
okay,
Speedway.
That's one. Give me another.
Dover International Speedway.
That's two. Give me another.
Delaware.
Okay, that's two.
Speedway. I can name Speedway.
Michigan Speedway. Is that real?
Yes. There's
Chicago has a Speedway, too, I think.
All right, Indy. So there's like
there's
seven.
There's some in California.
Everything else is in the South.
I mean, Phoenix.
NASCAR is the most southern sport there is.
I mean, I'm sure there's more. You're just coming to us. Like, I don't know a lot of NASCAR tracks to begin with. Like if you're asking me NFL stadiums, I got you. NBA arenas, cool. NASCAR venues?
What, you guys,
I don't know
are you guys,
I can
are,
name
are you guys
venue.
Arguing that it's not a South sport? Like,
no,
if
of
I
course,
said,
of course.
If I was talking about lacrosse, I would say that's a Northeast sport. It's not to say they don't play in other places. Kind of like football, generally, to me, is a South sport. It's in the SEC, Florida, Texas. But, yeah, I mean, I think that I would probably consider, yeah, maybe that's a loose one, I
guess.
What
I'm saying. I'm just saying, I've been to Tulsa a lot.
Oklahoma's the South.
I never felt like I was in the South when I was in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
I never
were.
Felt like I was in the South.
You were.
Are you with the Oklahoma's the South?
I've never thought of Oklahoma's the South.
Yeah, I've always looked at it as the Midwest.
I don't consider Texas the South, though, either. Texas
yeah, no.
is weird that way.
How is Texas not the South?
Oh, I agree. Texas is the South. I would put
what
Texas
do you
in the South.
Florida as?
Texas is
Florida's
a definition of the South.
Florida's its own separate deal, in my opinion.
I consider
Florida's
on its own.
Florida's just trash.
Because like Miami, where we went to Miami, and Alabama are two very different.
I would
like,
not say that's the South
two,
at all.
Two very different. Florida is just its own Florida.
And
its own entity.
And Miami, it was its own. Like, I've been to a bunch of different cities in Florida. So my grandparents lived in Naples, and I was the youngest person there by like 80 years. And I went to Orlando. It's kind of landlocked, you know, all the Disney and all those attractions. Miami was
different.
Miami was different. I'm going to try to watch my words here and be careful. Miami is the best looking city that I've ever been to, and it's not even close. Like, I'm 10 times too ugly. I'm not just too ugly. I'm 10 times too ugly to live in Miami. Every single person there looks like they're either the guys are on the cover of GQ and the girls look like they're Sports Illustrated models. That is the best looking city I've ever been to.
The text line maybe actually makes a good point. I don't say maybe actually. Like, it was a good point. 913-576-7610. I consider Kentucky the South and Alabama in the deep South. That might be the way that we differentiate it. That actually makes a little bit of sense.
To me, the South's all the same. And maybe if you're from the South or spend a lot of time there, there are differentials. Like, Louisiana's more South than Alabama's, more South than Kentucky, is more South than Tennessee. To me, if you're below Kansas or Missouri, so if you're in Kansas, you're in the Midwest, right? Once you go down, then you're in the South. Same thing with Missouri. So if I'm in Kansas and I head south and I hit the Oklahoma border all of a sudden, welcome to Oklahoma, that big-ass casino that you see, you know the one I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm in the South.
By that rule, Kentucky wouldn't be the South then.
Well, that's not the only rules. Kentucky is in a very unique spot in the United States.
Because they're country, I'm telling you. You can be
okay,
country and not from the South.
What's Colorado? Is Colorado West Coast or is it Midwest? Or is it just on its own?
Yeah, I would consider that like the mountain region.
Yeah.
Like, I would consider like
so what
Colorado.
Else is Montana.
Yeah, I would consider those to be different kind of states.
But like, that's like, it? So they get Colorado, Montana, and Idaho? Because
like
you don't consider.
Like, yeah, I would consider those to be different kind of states.
Utah, that's fair. Okay, yeah, so I would
consider those to be different.
So like, there's like, four states that are mountain states.
Because like Wyoming, I wouldn't consider to be in the Midwest.
Wyoming's
I would
not
consider
real.
Nebraska to be in the Midwest. I wouldn't consider Wyoming or Montana, and I'd put Colorado in that. So I would call those mountain states.
Well, Wyoming and Delaware aren't real. Like, you've never actually met somebody from Wyoming or Delaware because those people don't exist. Maybe somebody's told you they've met somebody, but you don't know somebody from there.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City.
New Hampshire, too. That's not a real place.
Ryan Braun is optimistic about baseball.
There's still a part of me that isn't quite sure we will actually play games.
Okay.
I'm optimistic that we will play games, yeah. But obviously if we look at what's happening in the country, the COVID numbers are not good.
Mm-hmm.
There are a significant number of athletes obviously that have tested positive, which is indicative of the overall numbers in our country right now. So I'm optimistic and I'm hopeful that when we get back, we do eventually make it to a season. And I think for all of us as baseball players, it's been a very trying process. It's been an exhaustive and frustrating process at times, but we will be incredibly grateful and thankful for any semblance of a season we're able to play.
I would imagine that a lot of you feel the same way that I feel. I was very excited to hear that MLS was coming back, very excited to hear the plan for the bubble for the NBA. Even though I'm not the biggest soccer fan in the world, I'm happy that MLS is coming back. But more and more as we get closer and closer to these dates, I'm starting to feel like Randy Jackson from American Idol.
Yo, dog.
I don't know, dog. Like, every day, there has been no positive news about the coronavirus in sports since Major League Baseball announced that they were coming back. There has not been a single, like, oh, okay, that's encouraging. More athletes test positive. More venues shut down. States continue to see spikes. Dr. Anthony Fauci says that if we continue on the trend that we're going, he thinks that we could see 100,000 new cases a day. I ain't seeing a whole lot of reasons to be overly optimistic about it. I'm not going to be pessimistic because I am hashtag Hope Harrison at C.Hope. So I'm going to continue to be positive about this. I'm just saying it doesn't have a good feel. And if we're looking at it neutral, I think we would come to the same conclusion. It's okay to be optimistic and hopeful that sports are going to return. But man, we still got a month until the NBA starts playing games. We still have, 24 days until Major League Baseball tries to play. Are they going to be ready in time? Are we going to feel comfortable enough? I don't have the answer to that.
Well, honest question, why do you think sports are trying to re-enter the atmosphere now?
The paper.
Exactly. The money, because we don't know a ton more about coronavirus. Now we have more information than we did a few months ago when Rudy Gobert was touching on the microphones, but we're wearing these masks and the science says one thing and other people refute. And when there's not a vaccine, I think what's going on now is people are getting stir crazy and people are losing a lot of money. And eventually somebody was just going to say, all right, we got to try to get back to somewhat of normal life. And a lot of that starts with sports. So here's the plan. We're going to put people in biospheres and people are going to wear masks and some people aren't going to play and we're going to test these people. Like, there's been a lot of conversation. The more and more that I hear about COVID getting worse and the numbers spiking, remember for a while the plan was, well, maybe they'll try to play in Arizona. Well, Arizona and Florida right now are the two states along with Texas that have been hit the worst. The numbers the last couple of weeks have not done anything except for go up, up, and up. So I can't imagine that in our country it's getting worse. The information is not that much better. And we're going to try to play professional sports in a few weeks. We were talking about yesterday, maybe it was Monday. My days are getting mixed up. Or yesterday was Monday. See, that's my point. I think that we were talking, if there's a champion, then it's success for the league. So it doesn't matter if it's the Bucks that win or the Lakers or the 76ers or the Raptors. If somebody wins and the NBA wins, and if it's the Brewers or the Royals or the Orioles or the Dodgers, or the Cardinals, if somebody wins, then baseball wins. I'm going to back off that, man, and just say, if any of these sports can get going, even if they stop and just give us momentary entertainment that we can watch and bet on and be entertained, and then they stop, basically what I'm saying is something's better than nothing, because the worse that COVID gets, the more it makes me think, I hope they can just start this season. I don't even care if they crown a champion.
I don't know if people are willing to admit this, but I do think there is an arrogance and a pride factor attached to it too. Now, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, but we are seeing Germany get back to playing sports. Now, fans are not there, but they've been playing German soccer for weeks now. The English Premier League, they are playing soccer. We just saw in New Zealand, they are playing sporting events with fans. I do think some of it is, we got to keep up with everybody else where, hey, how come England could figure this out? How come Germany could figure this out? But yet in America, we don't think we can play sports until 2021, because that appears to be a very realistic possibility in this country. I understand everything is different, but man, I'm sitting here looking at it. I do think there's some of, hold on, how can they play the English Premier League yet we can't play baseball here in this country? I think that is motivating a lot of this stuff too.
It is a little bit messed up that I can bet on, what's my guy's name?
Pogba.
For weeks, like not like this was the opening day. They have been playing, what is it, Bundesliga? Is that how you pronounce it?
Bundesliga started playing back in...
For a month!
May, yeah.
They've been playing soccer in Germany for a month, and now we're talking about a month from now. We don't know if the NBA can even start their season. I think that's a motivating factor behind a lot of this stuff, too, that a lot of these other countries can do it, so America should be able to do it, too.
It is kind of perplexing that we can see countries that aren't as advanced as us with the technology or have smaller numbers of people, and they figured out a way to come back, which makes me think that at some point as a country – we can also. My problem isn't with the leagues that are taking it as seriously as possible. So, for example, the MLS, they're going in kind of a biodome. It's in Orlando, right, Rob? So they're doing everything that they can to kind of quarantine the players to make it as safe as possible. Same thing with the NBA. They're going to go down and test as frequently as possible. And basically, you can't leave. We're going to have armed guards on the outside. My problem, and football really hasn't announced a plan because they don't have to just yet. My problem is with baseball, where it kind of feels like I'm a very organized person. I write down everything, partially because I'm going to forget it. But if I have a good idea, I like to write it down. I feel like with baseball, they're just kind of talking out of both sides of their mouth and talking without thinking. It's like, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to travel, even though that's not safe. We're going to have games. Oh, yeah, the Rangers and the White Sox are actually going to try to have fans there. And if a player tests positive, well, then we're just going to cross our fingers and hope that he doesn't give it to another player. And if they both have it, then we're really going to cross our fingers and our toes and hope the whole pitching staff doesn't get sick. And if they do, well, then we'll just figure that out, I guess, when it comes. I haven't heard a plan for when the S hits the fan for baseball. So I think that a lot of these sports have the framework in place, see that the same way that our friends from across the pond do. Baseball just sounds like not only were they the last one to the party, they didn't even bring any beer.
Coming up next, we will get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. That's coming up. Keep it locked in right here. It's a drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.